$1 a day contribution. Get yourself the KBOO hoodie, maybe $25 a month. Do it now, 877-500-5266.
Good morning, it's 7:59, and this is KBOO Portland. And next door, Carrie and Amory are ready to go with a number of guests from the Native American Youth and Family Center. They will highlight the epidemic of missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. That's coming up in just about 2 minutes on Voices from the Edge. At 9 o'clock, Press Watch with Teresa Mitchell, her weekly news and commentary program, digging deep into the news you're not supposed to know. Fight the Empire at 9:30. Pear Foggering welcomes author and analyst Stephen Gowans with his new book, Patriots, Traitors, and Empires, The Story of Korea's Struggle for Freedom. Air Cascadia at 10:15 flashpoints. Between the Covers at 11 and 11:30, it's Black Book Talk. And make history. Support KBOO. Become a member right now, 877-500-5266.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who have donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Grand Central Bakery, located at 2230 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard. Grand Central Bakery is an American bakery chain with locations in Portland, Oregon, and Seattle, Washington, and their metropolitan areas, providing breads, pastries, sandwiches, and soups from local ingredients. Lunch was provided by Huber's Restaurant, located at 411 Southwest 3rd Avenue. Huber's Cafe offers dining and takeout to Portland. More information at ubers.com. Dinner was provided by Shut Up and Eat, located at 3848 Southeast Gladstone Street in Portland. They offer fresh biscuits and English muffins they bake in-house daily, as well as sandwiches, hoagies, and grinders. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
Rose City Native Radio is looking for folks in the Native community who knew the late, great John Talley, host of Indian World for over 30 years.
My name is John Talley, and I'm the producer of a program called Indian World.
We are currently planning a special to celebrate the 30-plus years of Indigenous programming here on KBOO, and we want to hear your stories of John Talley and programming here at KBOO. If you know anybody in the Native community who would like to tell us a story about John, please email us at pdxnativeradio@gmail.com or call 503-231-8032 extension 221 and speak with Aaron.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
The time is 8:02. This is Amory Shack.
I'm Carrie Waters, and you're
listening to
Native Voices from the Edge.
Hey, hey, hey. Ho, ho, ho. Whoa. We are all one people, and we have to reunite. I say, better gather up our warriors, cause tonight is the big fight. Hey, 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 hey.
Good morning. We are honored to return to Voices from the Edge for the entire month of May. We'll be covering topics that you may not hear on a day-to-day basis that impact those who have lived in these lands since time immemorial. Despite over 500 years of colonization and other interconnected systems of oppression, Indigenous peoples across the Americas persist in resilience.
Today's topic needs mainstream awareness. Our conversation will be on missing and murdered Indigenous women, an epidemic throughout our nation. Today, we are joined by guests Tana Sanchez and Julia Sanchez White Elk, Amanda Swanson, Shanoa Landry, and Laura John. Last night, a couple hundred people gathered together for an event to raise awareness on the startling issue of missing and murdered Indigenous women, who are 2.5 times more likely to experience violent crimes. In March, the city of Portland proclaimed May 5th as the Day of Awareness for Missing and Murdered Native Women and Girls. It is our goal that over the next hour, we'll bring this issue to light for even more people who can continue to spread awareness throughout our community and beyond. So we'll start our conversation this morning with Andulia Sanchez White Elk to ground us in the bigger picture of things. Andulia, what is happening?
Well, good morning. Again, my name is Andulia Sanchez White Elk. I'm a survivor of domestic and sexual violence, and I currently work as an addiction counselor for the Confederated Tribes of Tsleil-Waututh, also a natural helper for Future Generations Collaborative. Well, I wanted to talk today about missing and murdered Indigenous women and what the impacts are and how. Missing and murdered is an epidemic in Indian country, and it continues to escalate, and it's never talked about in mainstream society. Let me just give you just a little bit of the statistics on the subject. According to 2016 National Institute of Justice report, 56% of Native women have experienced sexual violence in their lifetime, and 38% were unable to receive any type of victim services. So the high rate of sexual violence are closely interconnected with the likelihood of Native women going missing or being murdered. And on some reservations, they're murdered at more than 10 times the national average, which is astronomical. Mm-hmm. In 2016, North Dakota alone had 125 cases of missing Native women reported to the National Crime Information Center, compared to 5,712 total Native women cases reported in the United States. Mm-hmm. That's a big number. There's been no current database to track missing and murdered Indigenous women until now, with the help of a woman by the name of Anita Lucchesi, who is a survivor of domestic and sexual violence. And she began to set up the database that would track these women. Part of that database says 66% of those reported were murder cases, and a third of those cases are girls age 18 and under. So they estimate that they were missing records of approximately 20,000 historical cases from the 1900s to present time. That is unacceptable. Mm-hmm. So how this impacts our society, well, let's look at the services needed to support and help these survivors. So first, let's start with medical providers. They're needed to support victims and their families if violence has occurred. And they may have long-term damage to their bodies as a result of the violence. And then next, they'll need some mental health and behavioral health services, such as therapy, to deal with the trauma that's occurred. Then you'll have some that need addiction services, because a lot of women use substances to counter the violence that happens to them when they become addicted to that substance. In most cases, children are forced to be drugged to endure what happens to their bodies. Next is making sure these women and children have safe and stable living environments to go home to, or even have a home to go home to. Then affordable housing comes into play, because believe me, these survivors most likely are not getting paid to do what is forced on them, so they have to have an affordable place to live. Then they have to secure other means of livelihood and employment. So now you have other agencies involved, such as employment services, vocational rehab services. Then children will need education services to get back to school, because they were taken away from that when they were reported missing, as well as adults. They may have been taken at a young age as well. So all of these resources go to the families of the victims, because they need these services to cope with their missing loved ones. It's an epidemic that impacts all of us and the resources in our communities. Provides.
Thank you for that initial grounding for us. We'll jump back in with you right after a quick break with our pledge drive.
Yeah, thanks so much. And thank you for this very, very important and essential show that is live here in the studio. I mean, here we've got members of NIA right here in the studio coming in from the community organizations. This is what KBOO is really all about. And this is the last day of our spring membership drive. We're here to remind you that you make KBOO happen. And it's your support that makes this station possible. KBOO is essential. It is a station that provides in-depth, intelligent news coverage that helps you better understand the world, providing the soundtrack to your life and to a better world. This starts with financial support. We're asking you, if you can, to contribute to KBOO, and a sustaining contribution of just $5 a month is one of the most popular levels for first-time donors. You can do that by calling right now, 877-500-5266. Again, 877-500-KBOO. We want to thank people who called and helped us get very, very close to our goal for Democracy Now! Last hour. Daphne, renewing from West Lynn. Aaron, a sustaining contributor who increased their donation. You can do that as well if you're already giving $5 a month, maybe increase to $10 or $20 a month. Lauren, renewing from Portland. Michael from McMinnville. John from White Salmon, Washington. George from North Portland. And Bernice, a new member from North Portland. Thank you all so much. This is what is this KBOO is all about. If you're having trouble getting through on our website, just know that KBOO is needing resources to fight off those forces that actually want to keep you from accessing it, that we're under a denial of service attack from people who maybe don't want KBOO's website to be up, maybe don't want you to be able to access our thousands and thousands of hours of archived audio of information from our past programs, the news, the speeches, the interviews, the many, 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 many artists that are on there. And maybe you can contribute to help us ensure the security of our site and ensure that you have access to this news and information for the next 50 years. 877-500-5266. Become a member now. 877-500-KBOO is the number to call. We're going to go back to talk radio and definitely keep those phones ringing.
Hi, and welcome back to Native Voices from the Edge. This is Amory, and I'm with Carrie Waters and Andulia Sanchez-White Elk, and we're going to continue the conversation. Andulia, if you wouldn't mind just picking up where you left off, we were talking about, you're bringing up some really good points just about what happens when Native systems are devalued, and they're in devaluing Native women. Olivia Walker said that last night. That's really great.
Well, Native women are not seen as worthy victims. We have to provide proof of evidence that we weren't at fault, as if we wanted harm to come to us. Mm. Then maybe we'll get some help. That's if the police or other law enforcement or agencies working the case don't have any bias or have the correct training to deal with the issue. It's never okay for a woman or a child to be abused, mistreated, or raped or abducted, no matter what the circumstance. I've worked with survivors of violence, and as I said, currently an addiction counselor. I've heard so many stories of survivors stating that they were blamed for their assaults because they were drunk or they wanted to hang out with friends who were drinking. excuse me, but there should never be a thought about blaming the victim for someone else's actions ever. So we really need to start looking at the epidemic for what it really is, and that the violence, that this violence and currently practiced dominance over Indigenous people and continue to and control over decades of oppression and racist acts. Seeing Indigenous women and children's bodies as throwaways and dehumanizing us with no significant value in this world. That's so far from the truth. We are here, we're human, we deserve to be protected, just like anybody else walking the earth.
Mm-hmm. Truth. Mm. Thank you for sharing, Andulia.
Next up, we have Amanda Swanson, who has been working in the realm of human trafficking. Amanda, can you share a bit about your work with us?
Yes, and thank you for having me this morning. My name is Amanda Swanson. I'm also part of the Hoopa tribe in Northern California. I work for the Oregon Department of Justice, and I am the Trafficking Interventions Coordinator for the state of Oregon. I've actually been working on anti-trafficking movements in the anti-trafficking movement with victims and survivors for the past 10 years. So seeing and training and working with communities around the state and looking for vulnerable populations, because these traffickers and pimps are skilled at identifying vulnerable populations. We've had cases of pimps specifically calling out powwows and reservations, of going and targeting young girls there because nobody cares about those girls. Nobody looks for those girls when they go missing. They know that there's a huge gap in services and that those, unfortunately, are what the system throws away. And that's unacceptable. And so we are working really hard on helping communities not only identify victims and survivors, but to really look at who are the true victims. What does this really look like? A lot of people think, oh, well, that looks like Taken, or that looks, you know, that's over in another country. Right. No, it happens here. And so we really need to make sure that we can accurately identify these victims and survivors, and so that we can offer all the spectrums of services that was talked about before, because there's needing to be a true collaboration, not only with systems and the government, but with Native peoples, so that there can be true healing for when these victims and survivors are identified, to help them heal and move through their victimization.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Could you speak a bit more about what folks can do to help build more awareness around this issue?
Absolutely. I mean, I think we need to just start talking about it, because we still hear in smaller communities, oh, that only happens in the cities. And we hear in the cities, oh, that only happens in another country. And so being able to educate our community about what is happening and the realities of what is happening. The average age of entry into trafficking is 11 to 14 for girls, and or 12 to 14 for girls, and 11 to 13 for boys. Mm-hmm. So if we're looking at the missing peoples, and we're seeing that the age range is around there for a lot of the girls, we can suspect that this is what they're being pulled into. Just being able to talk about it, make sure that we are aware and that we're teaching our children, but also not only putting it on them. We as a community need to take responsibility, and we need to start looking and making sure that nobody gets left in that throwaway category. Nobody gets left behind, and that we are really identifying who this is. So making sure that we're asking those questions, that we're checking the boxes when we're asking ethnicity and race, when we're working with victims, making sure that we're trained on advanced identification, whether that's the hospital staff, whether that's mental health, school counselors, anybody who has contact, especially with children, should be able to identify some of these red flags, and then be able to connect them to services, whether that's an advocate, preferably an advocate, or being able to reach out to the system.
Thank you so much for sharing on all of that. Right now, we're going to take it back to another Pledge Drive segment.
Thank you so much. And thank you to everyone who's listening, everyone who's supporting KABU. This is the last day of our spring membership drive. KABU is radio made by you for all of us. My name is Jenka, and I'm here to remind you that your support is what makes KABU happen. We're listening to this amazing program about Native women struggling to ensure their very survival. And that is a voice that is left out of the mainstream media, left out of the corporate media. We heard Arundhati Roy a few minutes before talking about the land belonging to the upper caste, now belonging to the corporate upper caste. From India to Native Americans in the United States, KABU provides a space on the airwaves for voices to get through to you. Now is the time to support KABU. The number to call is 877-500-5266. Again, that's 877-500-KBOO. If you're having trouble getting through on KABU's website, it is because, yes, we are under a continual denial of service attack. We need resources to continue to fight in order to ensure access to free, democratic, open information sources like KABU. Little scrappy news sites are under attack. Can you believe it? I mean, it is chilling to think about the impact of what this means for democracy. And KABU is going to fight. We are fighting. But when we need your support in order to get there. When people are trying to attack and to pressure KABU and to keep us from putting out this news, we're not going to give up. We're not going to succumb to the pressure, because we are independent, and we remain independent because we have community support. Now is the time to give, because a generous donor has provided a $500 match. Double your donation now by calling 877-500-5266. 5266. This KBOO donor knows the value of community radio and wants to convince you to donate right now. They will double your donation up to $500. If you could do a $25 a month contribution, that is a $300 a year. It really adds up, and that gets you the KBOO hoodie as a thank you. It's got the KBOO logo, now a new design front and back, and that will be doubled. So $300 will get KBOO $600, and it only has to be done, it can be done as a monthly deduction. Very, very easy. Credit card, debit card, checking account. You set it up today, and just know that every month you will be sustaining this radio station through the difficult times that we are in. 877-500-5266. Again, that number is 877-500-KBOO. If you're out and about, when you get to where you're going, just pause a moment and do give that number a call. 877-500-5266. If not you, who? And if not now, when? Stand up for democracy. Stand up for free and independent airwaves. The time has never been more important than it is right now, today. And we need your support. 877-500-5266.
You are listening to Native Voices from the Edge. We have several amazing women with us in the studio this morning talking about missing and murdered Indigenous women, an epidemic across our nation. Next up, we have Shanoa Landry joining us.
Good morning.
Good morning, Shanoa. So glad to have you with us. Would you be able to share a bit about some of the stats related to domestic violence and sexual assault?
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. Again, my name is Shanoa Landry, and I'm a member of the Puyallup tribe. And right now I work at NAIA Family Center. And I just wanted to share a couple of some quick facts that probably might be repeated. Just one second. Oh. Sorry about
just
that,
everyone,
everybody.
Knows we have a baby in the room.
Yeah, so amazing women. Plus baby.
Yep. Plus baby. Yes, so more than 4 in 5 American Indian and Alaska Native women, which is 84.3%, have experienced violence in their lifetime. 4 in 10 Native American women are subjected to violence by an intimate partner in their lifetimes. 3 out of 5 American Indian and Alaska Native women have been assaulted in their lifetimes. Murder is the third leading cause of death among Native women. Portland has the highest number of sexually oriented businesses per capita of any city in the nation. So I guess if you look at violence as a public health issue, this is something that needs to be raised awareness to for all of us. So I guess I wanted to share some things that are happening in our area that you can participate in. Today at noon, you can join over at the Telecom Room Park Square 100 Market Building here in Portland, and it's the MMIW Saving Our Sisters event. You can have your lunch hour with a panel of experts and community advocates. So that's today at noon at the Park Square Telecom Room. Wednesday was yesterday. We had a really big event, which was, I think Carrie was there, and we had a lot of really awesome speakers, some songs. Today at 2:15 in the council chambers, the Metro Regional Government Proclamation. Oops.
There's just some more events.
Oh, okay. Sorry. At 2:15, meeting in the council chambers. That's 600 Northeast Grand Avenue in Portland. Tomorrow, Friday, the Community Peace Cooperative is having a presentation, and that is the North Precinct, 449 East Northeast Emerson, Street. And that's 10 to 11:30 a.m. tomorrow, May 4th. And then on Saturday, if you could join us at the powwow at Portland State University. It's I don't know the exact time, but the USHI, which is the United Indian Students in Higher Education, is going to be hosting a powwow on Saturday, and they're going to be putting on some events to raise awareness. So the grand entry, I believe, is at noon or 1, and it goes all day. Sunday, there will also be an event, and it'll be... I think they're going to do a candlelit vigil, but I'm not sure of the time. But you can check the Facebook events that's honoring the spirits of our missing and murdered Indigenous women. we're also having a challenge for everyone. So if you are interested in raising awareness, there are some things you can do to raise awareness. The first thing is wear red and post a photo on social media with the hashtag MMIWPDX. That's Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women Portland. So MMIWPDX. You can also hashtag National Day of Awareness. You can hashtag NIWG. So that's Missing and Murdered Native Women and Girls. You can also hashtag MMIWUSA. So you can, again, wear red. If you have a red ribbon skirt, red shawl, just a red shirt, wear red and use those hashtags. The other thing is you can attend a community event to learn more. You can host a viewing of Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women webinar and create honest dialogue. The other thing you could do is host your own candlelight vigil on May 5th to honor Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women. And you can also find and share news articles from your area in the USHI. I think there's a lot of things that if you think of something else too, you can post it on social media, on Facebook or Instagram or whatever social media you use just to raise awareness. Because again, like I said, this is a public health USHI, so it affects all of us and the health of our community.
Absolutely. And this is new for Portland to do. So as a Portlander, even if you aren't Native or you don't identify as being Native, it's something that these conversations can be happening. How amazing would it be if Portland reverberated with these conversations this whole weekend, talking to someone who you may not talk to about, you know, your own personal views or talking about these issues of violence against women. Please do elevate those in your communities. Mm-hmm.
Agreed. This is a public health USHI and it impacts our entire community with a ripple effect. So it's something that's not just relevant to our community. We need awareness mm-hmm. throughout all communities.
Mm-hmm. And if I could just add one more thing. I'm sorry.
Please do.
I kind of forgot. So the other thing that we do at NAIA is we have culture nights twice a month. And for the past... a little bit over 2 months, a lot of the women in our community have been making red ribbon skirts for themselves and their children and their mothers. And a lot of them showed up last night in solidarity to wear the red ribbon skirts they've been making at Culture Night. And our last Culture Night of this month will be the third Wednesday of this month, which I believe is the 17th. And we're going to host a small, just a children's powwow. But if people want to come and wear their red ribbon skirts on that day as well, they can join us.
Mm-hmm. Can you say that date one more time?
Yes, I'm going to confirm because it's the third Wednesday. So I believe that should be the... I'm sorry, I said the wrong date. It is the 16th,
okay.
May 16th. It'll be the last culture night of the school year. And again, we just encourage everyone to wear red ribbon skirts or red shawls. And around NAIA and around town, you might start to see some of the small dolls that are like one-dimensional dolls that kind of are also a visual representation. And that was the project that was called the Faceless Dolls Project out of Canada, and we're expanding that around in the area.
Mm-hmm. That's powerful. Thank you so much, and thank you for the reminder that we have many community events. Being in community and making sure that our people don't feel isolated is a huge step in the right direction. As Amanda had mentioned, our women and girls are targeted at powwows on reservations and places where where they know that there isn't support and services in a systematic way. So we all need to come together as community to make sure that we all know that we're here to support each other and to be in community and to be supportive so that we don't feel that isolation, because it's really easy to feel isolated regardless, just with the fast pace of our society and you know, the extractive economy. That was something that resonated with me in the event last night, is this connection between disrespect for our earth as well as our women and girls. Bring awareness to that.
Something else last night I just wanted to bring up was there was a moment where you know, we paid attention to the naming of things and how that does hold power. And Olivia Walker spoke last night from Multnomah County and the health department, I believe. But she was saying, you know, extractive economy, specifically colonization, and all of these issues that really bring this, you know, type of realized reality to Native women today.
Yeah, it's a direct impact of colonization.
Absolutely.
Agreed. All things are interconnected. With that, we're going to take it back to the pledge drive. Yep. Thank you, Shanoa.
Thank you.
And thank you, everyone who is listening to this amazing conversation, this very, very important talk on Native Voices from the Edge here this morning at KBOO Community Radio. You're listening to the last day of our spring membership drive. This is when we come to you, the listener, and we ask for your support. It's radio made by you for all of us. Please don't take it for granted. Support KBOO right now. This is the last day, the last chance you have to support KBOO during this drive. I mean, you're hearing about Native women struggling to just have voices heard and ensure their very survival. I mean, it's really ridiculous that this is where we're at as a society. And yet, here we are. And KBOO is providing this space and providing the airwaves and allowing every person to have a voice and to have space, and not just a soundbite, but in-depth conversations. Please give a call right now. Support the folks who are on the front lines of these struggles, as you yourself are likely supportive and you want to ensure that democracy remains on the airwaves. You want to ensure that there is a space for Native voices on the radio. Do give a call right now. 877-500-5266. Again, that number is 877-500-KBOO. Contributions from our listeners add up to the largest share of the funding that pays for everything you hear on KBOO. That means that all of the equipment, all of the transmitters, everything is paid for by listeners. Our free trainings that we provide to the community, provided by listener contributors. So you can be one of the listener contributors. I would urge you, if you can, to do a $10 a month contribution. $10 a month will get you a t-shirt. We've got new t-shirts. We've got Keep Portland Radical t-shirts. Actually, those you can just give $75 a year, $625 a month. But I would encourage you to round it up to 10 a month. 10 a month is really doable for many of us. I myself give $25 a month in order to get that KBOO hoodie. Of course, that's not the reason that I give, but it's an added bonus to get the KBOO hoodie and wear that around town and ensure that democracy has a space on the airwaves. Please give a call. Ensure the survival, the future of KBOO as we hit our 50-year mark and we move forward to the next 50. 877-500-5266. If you can manage $25 right now, think about calling that number, 877-500-5266. Can you manage that for KBOO? Can you be a part of this community? And if you can manage it this month, maybe you could do it next month too. Just think about it. And after you think a little bit, pull over and give us a call, 877-500-5266. Or maybe you're at home listening or at work listening. Find a break when you are able. Give us a call, 877-500-5266. Don't take KBOO for granted. I want to thank Janet Renewing, who started a sustaining membership. That's that monthly donation that you can do on a monthly basis. And Bonnie Renewing from Southwest Portland. Thank you both so much for contributing to KBOO. You can be next. 877-500-5266.
Thank you so much. You are listening to Native Voices from the Edge, the Native takeover of Voices from the Edge for the month of May. Today we are discussing the issue of missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. May 5th has been proclaimed as the Day of Awareness for Missing and Murdered Native Women and Girls. We've heard this morning from Andulia Sanchez White Elk, Amanda Swanson, and Chinoa Landry. Up next, we have Laura John, Tribal Liaison with the City of Portland, and State Representative Tana Sanchez. So welcome. So glad to have both of you here.
Thank you.
Laura, can you share with us a bit about the context within the city, why the city is acting on this right now, and anything else about the work that you've been doing?
Sure. So the city proclamation wasn't something that just came out of thin air. There have been cities in the past that have passed proclamation. In particular, the first city that I saw this year was the city of Missoula, who does have a Native woman who sits on their city council. That happened in February of this year. This is all stemming out of really looking looking at this issue and seeing that it's not just a reservation issue, it's not just a tribal community issue, that this affects all communities. Last year, there was a congressional resolution, Senate resolution, to designate May 5th as a National Awareness Day for the entire country. This was spearheaded by senators in Montana. There was another resolution up again this year, and that was voted on, I believe it was last Wednesday, and received unanimous consent by the Senate. So this is not only a day of awareness for the city of Portland, this is actually a national day of awareness. Mm. So in talking with community members, in my capacity as tribal liaison for the city, it became very clear that this was an issue that had local impact. I've received a handful of calls from people saying that they have a missing family member that they believe is maybe here in Portland. And this is calls from outside of the state. One in particular came from eastern Montana. Mm-hmm. So understanding that and beginning to learn more about some of the issues that our city faces, particularly with trafficking, it seems that Portland has the ability to do something to help the issue. So not just for here in our city, but to have impact on the issue for Indian country in general. We brought forth the request for the proclamation to the mayor's office, and they were very very concerned, number one, because they hadn't heard about this issue. The commissioners weren't familiar with this issue either in this movement, the MMIW movement. They were very compassionate about it and responsive. We invited community to City Hall chambers and presented the when the mayor read the proclamation. We did that in March as a means of being able to give some time for people to prepare to create some awareness events. That day in City Council chambers was really, really powerful. It was clear that it impacted not only the City Council members, but it impacted the people that were there for, that ended up staying because they saw, I think we had maybe 30 people or more, 50 people from the community that came into chambers. We had singers. We had three women singers. So the people that were there, I don't remember what the issue was before we were up on the agenda, but it had something to do with licensing or permitting. So they stayed, and then we saw the people that were in chambers who were waiting for their turn. They were next on the agenda out after us, and I saw their faces change. Mm-hmm. They didn't know about this issue. So I don't think that it's the lack of awareness isn't because of not being concerned or apathy or sort of this not in my backyard. Right. It's simply that people don't know. Mm-hmm. So my hope in bringing bringing this request for the proclamation to the mayor and to our city commissioners is not just a proclamation. It's not a fluffy symbol, mm-hmm. right? This is one step closer. In my capacity as tribal liaison, what I do at the city is I increase awareness of Native community and the issues that we face and what we need, right, to address those issues. So this is a first step in raising awareness about this issue, MMIW, and all of the things that it entails that people have talked about so far. So we're talking about domestic violence, sexual assault, trafficking. We're talking about ill-prepared law enforcement. We're talking about a lack of appropriate data being collected. So all of those things, you can see how Portland has the ability, whether it's at the city of Portland, whether it's Multnomah County, whether it's Metro, whether it's the mm-hmm. state of Oregon, we have the ability to make a difference. But our community cannot come forward and say, hey, we need some help with this. We need services. We need some change in policy if they don't even know the issue.
Right.
So I think that's the important piece right now, and that's why we do have the awareness challenge that Native Wellness Institute, who are based out of Portland, has hosted this year. We need everybody's help to make people aware of this issue and begin talking about it.
Absolutely. Something you mentioned, you know, that this is not just a fluffy proclamation, it's an important first step, reminded me of a conversation that we were having when we were hosting this show this last November. Mm-hmm. I think we spent an entire show talking about that balance and that tension point between symbolic acts and the action that we need to see in our communities. And those symbolic acts like proclamations or like the exoneration of Chief Leschi mm-hmm. from hundreds of years ago, that has to take place. There's still, you know, racist language out there in our laws. We need to take that step as an opportunity to heal so that we can fully address the issues that are impacting us today.
Right. And I think that goes beyond, like, this is a huge important conversation, but so many issues that we could talk about in terms of cultural appropriation, where, you know, whether it's in the sports industry or if it's an organization's history or if it's also just the mindset of, you know, a person, like that sort of acknowledgement is critical.
I agree.
I think you're either continuing the social idea or you're, you know, helping transform it, being part of transforming it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, agreed. Representative Sanchez, can we hear from you on your perspectives and position to make change in this realm?
Well, one of my favorite things in the world, of course, is just history, looking at generational trauma, looking at all of the things that got us to where we are today. And I remind people of that a lot because I feel like that is one of the most important pieces that we can understand for ourselves as, not just as Indigenous people, but as people in the world. Anyone needs to, we really do need to understand where we came from and how we got here. So the issue of missing and murdered Indigenous women is not a right now issue. It's not just the trafficking that's happening now. It's very historical. It's a long time coming because it relates very clearly to colonization, to reservations, to boarding schools, to the issues of violence against women began in those places. We have, you know, obviously for ourselves, our level of documented history that says this was not a norm in our cultures. Mm-hmm. And then we've come to a place where jurisdictional issues on reservations have led to many people coming to the urban areas and not reporting crimes against them because they don't feel like anything's going to happen because nothing happened on the res. And we pass that down generationally as well. And so we have that history where, you know, unless it's a horrific crime, unless somebody may actually die, you know, nothing happens because of the jurisdictional issues. And that's something we need to raise awareness about and change. And this is very much related, of course, to the issue of trafficking, to the issue of sexual assault and sexual and violence of any kind on reservations and tribal lands. So those types of things, I think, are so very, very important to recognize. This is a historical issue, and we've had those things that we've struggled with for a long time. And as we sort of move forward, we talked about sort of educating our own folks. That's huge, because some of our own community still sits in that place of thinking, you know, why bother? Because nothing will happen. No one will be held accountable for this issue. And sadly, in some instances, that is in fact the case. I think somebody talked last night just about how they didn't bother. They didn't bother to say anything because they knew that what happened to them was not going to be a prosecuted crime. And that is so very, very sad. And we need to change and shift that dynamic in our societies altogether. We need to shift and change that dynamic that women of color in particular should have that value as a human being, and when in fact historically we can say that that was not in fact true. Mm-hmm. So
yes, right. It is an outrage. Agreed. And we need everyone of all communities to be aware of this and to have these conversations, even though they're hard.
And for those listeners who might be listening who have not heard the phrase generational trauma, or when things are passed down, maybe could bounce this to anyone who wants to answer it, but just could you give a brief overview for our listeners?
So there is this, there is an understanding that there's sort of the epigenetics of just your human being, yourself. Trauma happens we know now that trauma affects your whole body. Right? It affects who you are, it affects your responses, literally physiologically. How could we not understand that that is actually passed down generationally? If your body shifts and changes, and you pass that down to your children generationally, I mean, we understand it. I think you talked earlier about the exoneration of Chief Leschi. That and other incidences of, you know, honoring and respecting and changing things for people literally is felt physically by our Native people. You know, even though that was generations ago, that apology or that that change and shift in the way people thought about that person really does affect us. I know years ago when I can't remember who the distributor was, but they had a Crazy Horse beer out at one point, and people were so appalled, and there was an apology, and literally people were in tears over the apology, because that's how much generational trauma affects you literally physiologically. Mm-hmm. So it's something to think about again as we pass that down to our children. What do our children think now? And literally, I hate to say it because it's so harsh, it's hard for me to say, but I have heard children say things like, when I get raped, mm-hmm. or when I go to prison. It's not an if, because in their minds, this is what historical trauma has done to them. It has set them into a position where they think that that is the norm. Mm.
It's heartbreaking, but important to talk about. Laura John, Tana Sanchez, thank you so much for joining us. We have to head back to another pledge drive, and we'll be back to wrap up in just a couple minutes.
Thank you so much for this extremely important programming here on Cable on this, the last day of our spring membership drive, as we all need to remember where we came from and how we got here, what generational trauma really means, and the history of the legacy of imperialism, of colonization, of genocide in this country. History is known by the records we keep. Diverse viewpoints are fundamental to a more complete understanding of our culture and our history. KABU has a unique voice and a unique part to play in that. And I hope that you appreciate and you will support KABU right now. Your support is what makes KABU happen. I am Jenka, and I am happy to be here this morning to support this last day of our spring membership drive. And I urge you to support KBOO at the $10 a month level. $10 a month level. We do still have Democracy Now! T-shirts for that level if you are able to pledge to KBOO. If you've got $10 right now, maybe you'll have $10 next month, and you can do that on a sustaining basis and really keep KBOO going for the long term. Move from being a passive listener to an active member. Go to your phone and pick it up. Press 877-500-5266. Again, 877-500 KBOO. We heard the host talking about symbolic acts and then the actions that we need to see in our community. This is a real action that we need to see. This is not a symbolic act. This is real. What's happening on the KBOO website is real. KBOO website is under attack from a denial of service attack from people who really want to keep you from getting this information. So if you value KBOO, you want to help provide the resources to ensure that KBOO continues, that we are able to be a stalwart source of news and information on a daily basis based in your community, give a call right now, 877-500-5266. The website is up right now, and you can give online, kboo.fm, and you can also access that through our Twitter, through our Facebook, KBOO Radio, and through our KBOO app. So any of those ways to give. The important thing is that you do give and that you do continue to support KBOO. Just close that loop. KBOO provides so much for you on a daily basis, and you and your community, the entire community, has a space, a place to come in, to share news, to share information, to share events, to talk about what's going on, what are the issues that are impacting our local area, and how does that connect globally. We talk about these things, and we have a space on the airwaves only because we have listener support. Now is the time to give. We've got 10 minutes left in this show. Support Native Voices from the Edge right now, and your call can put us over the top for this hour. 877-500-5266. $10 a month goes so far here at KBOO and provides so much and allows us to ensure that this space on the airwaves remains here for all of us, for you, for me, for everyone in our community, not just the people that you hear on the radio, but it is for community groups to come in and to share events. And it is a real resource here on the airwaves and online. Make sure that that remains, even if we are up against forces that want to destroy us, that we remain strong and that we're able to continue the fight. And we only do that with your support. The number to call is 877-500-5266. A real easy way to start is a $5 a month contribution. If you have never given before, consider doing that. $5 a month. And you can cancel it at any time. It comes out of your checking account or your credit card, and it's very easy to set up, and it sustains KBOO, and all of that really makes a difference. 877-500-5266. Join us in this effort to preserve regional history, to preserve a space for community radio on the airwaves and in the history books of this country, that we keep this thing going for another 50 years strong. Again, 877-500-5266 is the number to call.
You are listening to Native Voices from the Edge, the Native Takeover of Voices from the Edge for the month of May. And right now we are with the city's tribal liaison, Laura John, and State Representative Tana Sanchez. Just been speaking about generational trauma, and we're going to go back to our conversation and continue.
Yeah, so let's bring this back to the larger context. Representative Sanchez, could you speak about the importance of awareness around this issue, why this is happening now, that larger context?
Right. So why is this happening now? Well, let me just say, first of all, it has been a movement that's been slowly growing throughout the country for many years. You may have noticed, if you ever go to Delta Park Powwow, the red shawls have been out there in the grand entry for several years now. This has been a movement that people have been trying to really gain some momentum on, because it's becoming clear over and over again in different communities that it's an epidemic, and we need to deal with it in some way, shape, or form. Why you're hearing about it now, maybe more so than ever here in the city of Portland and in the state of Oregon, is because truly for the first time, we have some impact. We have some people being able to make the impact, and you know, not to say just myself, of course, I am the second Native American to ever serve in the Oregon State Legislature. Laura John is the very first tribal liaison that we have for the city of Portland. That's an amazing opportunity for us. We have been encouraging people for years to try to step up and kind of take these seats, and now we finally have at least two of them here, mm-hmm. and more. We have other Native folks who have been on school boards, who've done different things, who've tried to run for a commission and those types of things. That needs to happen more and more so that the issues that Indigenous populations and any people of color who are struggling can get those words out to the rest of our communities. Mm-hmm. That's a huge, huge struggle for us. And we fought for a very long time to get that tribal liaison position here in Portland. And it has been such an amazing opportunity for us to, you know, obviously Laura making this move through through the city has just had an enormous impact. Mm-hmm. And I want to take that further as we move to legislation. Washington State has already passed legislation to essentially put some impact around documentation and data collection, you know, in tribal areas, so that we can actually know how many people might be missing or murdered or gone over a period of time, and how we can work to stop that, to change and shift that, to put more resources towards not only towards our police or looking at documenting this information, but towards services to women who and men or other other folks, anyone who are struggling with domestic violence or sexual assault, or who don't have the information to know what it means to be lured into trafficking and those types of things. We really need to put resources to this effort, and my hope is that we can do that by this awareness, by encouraging people to step up, by encouraging people to just sort of get some more information, learn more about it, so that you can be aware and understand what's happening in our mm-hmm. world.
Thank you so much, Representative Sanchez. And Laura, I'm so grateful that we have your position in the city now. Could you share a bit about why we have this position in the first place? What's the difference between racial identity versus our political status as tribal peoples, and why is that important in your role?
Sure. So my position was created out of a resolution that was passed by City Council in 2012 that directed the city to formalize partnerships with tribal governments in the area, as well as create a process for engaging in consultation with those tribes as government to government. And that's the key, right? Government to government. So we're talking about tribal nations that have their sovereign government. They have a very unique status, political status, that no other group in the country has. And so when we're talking about American Indian Alaska Natives, we are talking about a group of individuals that have a unique political status that is unique to their group. So this is not a race ethnicity issue. This is an issue of First Peoples and their political status as such. But I do want to say that a lot of the issues that Native people face, whether it's throughout the country or here in Portland, when we put resources and we put attention on those issues for Native people, it helps all people. Mm-hmm. So if we're putting attention on missing and murdered Indigenous women and the things that are needed, we're raising awareness of that issue in general, and that's going to help all people in the city.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today. Amory, could you share the details for
yes. the upcoming events? So today, May 3rd, from 12 to 1 p.m., there is a City in Multnomah County hosted panel for missing and murdered Indigenous women and saving our sisters. So it'll be spending the lunch hour with a panel of experts and community advocates that will highlight the current state of this important issue. And again, Oregon Representative Tana Sanchez will be there, and it's hosted by the Oregon Department of Justice as well. And just as we are closing, just one more final thought on listening and learning in every every moment. Last night, Tana Sanchez mentioned this, that every moment that you're learning something new, you're taking part in change and you're helping in this transformational movement. You're already part of it by listening to it this hour. Please continue to do your part and step up. We need you.
We'll be back next week with Native Voices from the Edge. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, hey, hey. Oh, oh, oh. Whoa. We are all one people and we have to reunite. I say better gather up our warriors, cause tonight is the big fight. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah.
Good morning, it's 8:59, and this is KBOO Portland. Up next, in just about 2 minutes, Press Watch, Teresa Mitchell's weekly news and community program, digging deep into the news you're not supposed to know. At 9:30 on Fight the Empire, Per Fogering welcomes author and analyst Stephen Gowans with his new book, Patriots, Traitors, and Empires, the story of Korea's struggle for freedom. Now, all of this programming is possible because of your support of KBOO. If you'd like to become a member, right now is the time to do it. Make history on our last day of the fund drive by calling 877-500-KBOO, 877-500-5266.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who have donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Grand Central Bakery, located at 2230 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard. Grand Central Bakery is an American bakery chain with locations in Portland, Oregon, and Seattle, Washington, and their metropolitan areas, providing breads, pastries, sandwiches, and soups from local ingredients. Lunch was provided by Huber's Restaurant. Located at 411 Southwest 3rd Avenue, Huber's Cafe offers dining and takeout to Portland. More information at ubers.com. Dinner was provided by Shut Up and Eat. Located at 3848 Southeast Gladstone Street in Portland, they offer fresh biscuits and English muffins they bake in-house daily, as well as sandwiches, hoagies, and grinders. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
Join us Sunday, May 6th at 9:30 a.m. at the Oregon Historical Society for KBOO's Pickin' Appreciation Party, a bluegrass benefit. This private event will feature music from the Truvine hosts playing bluegrass, as well as other musicians, as well as breakfast, and a chance to win prizes donated by Artichoke Music, the Northwest String Summit,